do have a thought that we want to present this morning. I'm going to read just one verse from the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. The 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. This is one of my favorite books. I guess when I was younger, it didn't used to be, but as I've gotten older and seen the wisdom that there is here, it's one of my favorite books, along with Proverbs. I think I've probably said before here that, you know, when I the Lord brought me back, I should say, from a backslider's life, and I was, you know, 35 years old, 36 years old then, had seen a little bit of life. I began reading and studying things that I should have done 20 years earlier, and I began reading things in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and I was almost shocked. I said, boy, I wish I would have known that when I was younger. I wouldn't. And then the thought occurred to me, well, you knew. You just didn't hear. You didn't listen. See, the truth is here, and all the things that we need to know about life, about how to live a good life, really are contained in the Scriptures. And there's a lot of good practical wisdom in Proverbs and here in Ecclesiastes about how to live and things to avoid, things to do and not to do. But at any rate, I want to read one verse from the 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Here Solomon writes, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." And I want to look particularly at the second part of that verse. "And whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." Now that is a stern warning about breaking hedges. So I think we want to look at what that means and how that is applied for us today in our lives. And so my thought from that verse for us this morning is the serpent in the hedge. The serpent in the hedge is what I would have us think about this morning. Now, to give a little bit of a background, you all, most of you, even our young people here, probably know what a hedge is. A hedge, we think of a hedge as maybe some bushes or trees that, you know, mark off a line on a property or between other property, or maybe you have a line of hedges out in front of your house, but that's not the extent of what it means. Really, here in this context, a hedge is any kind of a wall. That's really the meaning from in the Hebrew, as well as the older meaning in English. Remember, in 1611, you know, King James English, a hedge was not just a little row of bushes; it was a wall. It was something that separated things out, demarked things, created boundaries. So that's what a hedge is. It's a wall. Now, in the Middle East and in Israel, where it's a war and dry climate, they made walls out of different things, but primarily they would make them out of stones to make walls of things. And, you know, a lot of times dry stack the stones. They didn't often use wet mortar like we might. And, you know, you can still drive around this part of the country and find, you know, hedges or walls made out of dry stack stone. When it's done properly, they'll last a long time. Well, in that part of the world, they have snakes just like we do here, but sometimes some of the snakes that they have there are more venomous than what we have. We're blessed, I believe, in this part of the country at least. We only venomous snakes we have are copperheads and timber rattlers, but they have different types of venomous snakes over there. And it was so, first of all, we're taking a picture of something that was real life that people could understand. stand. So hedges were walls, primarily built out of stone, a dry stack, and there was little crevices and things in there. Well, in a hot and dry climate like that, snakes would tend to like to hide in those little crevices and make a little home in there. It was warm from the stone, but it was shady, and so they could make a little home there. So this is a picture put before people that Solomon is using that people would understand. This was practical advice. If you went up to mess around with a stone wall, you needed to be careful because there might be snakes in there. So you would be very careful as you messed around with that wall that there might be a viper in there. You wouldn't just stick your hand in a crevice between those stones willy-nilly because you might get bit. And surely if you went to go knock it down, if you were going to knock down that stone wall, that hedge, you'd be very careful because there's very likely to be snakes in there somewhere, and then they would come out and you might run the risk of being bit. So that's kind of the practical picture of something that happened in everyday life that people would have understood. Yes, you go messing around with a hedge, there's probably snakes there and you might get bit, so you need to be careful. So that's the picture that is set before us. And so then we might think about, well, what are hedges and what are walls for? Well, primarily we use them for two reasons, either to keep something out or to keep something in, right? We use a wall. I got a fence around my backyard, right? It's to keep my dogs in, so when they're in the backyard, they can't get out. And it's to keep other people from getting in and wandering around in my backyard where I don't want them. That's a fence is a hedge. It's a wall, and you all have perhaps have the same things. And we have walls around buildings and walls here, and all kinds of different hedges in different places, and they are marked to either keep people out or to keep something in. We might think of the zoo, right? The zoo, there's walls around, different types of walls around the enclosures, both to keep people from wandering in, but also to keep those animals from getting out where they might do damage. So walls serve a practical purpose to mark places that we can go and places that we can't go. And there becomes the rub, right? We don't like to be told where to go and where not to go, do we? We don't like to be told you can't go there. Walls invite people to come and look over them, to climb over them, to try to get around them, right? Because there's two things about our nature that makes us not like walls. We don't like hedges. We don't like things that tell us you can go here and no further. Stay out of here. There's two parts of our nature that conflict with that. It is curiosity and rebellion. Now, those are parts of our nature as human beings. We're curious by nature. If that wall, you want to see what's over on the other side of it. Even if you're almost positive that there's nothing worth having over there, there's one part of us that's curious, that wants to see what's on the other side of that wall that marks off. There's clearly a wall, maybe that's got, you know, we got fences now that have, you know, no trespassing signs and all those things. But there's a part of us that's curious. Well, why can't I go there? What's there that they're trying to keep me away from? Curiosity. And the other part is rebellion. We as humans are rebellious by nature. Now, God didn't make us that way. Sin has made us that way. The fall of Adam has made us that way. But we are rebellious by nature. As soon as someone lays down a line and says, you can go here and no further, what do we want to do? We want to step over that line. We don't like being told that we can't do that, even if it's been explained to us, even if we understand all about it. There is part of our nature that is rebellious against walls, against hedges, against things that are put there really for our own good, but we don't like it. We want to rebel against it. So those two things with walls tend to get us into trouble: curiosity and rebellion. Now, I want us to begin to understand a little bit of the application here. I don't think that Solomon was warning just about the physical danger associated with messing around with the stone walls, wherever they might be. That wasn't what he was talking about. He was trying to teach us a lesson about life, something that we could take with us wherever we might go. And more importantly, he was trying to teach us a spiritual lesson. God was trying to teach us a spiritual lesson particularly for young people. Remember, this was Ecclesiastes was written, much like Proverbs was written, as a gift from an older man to a younger man, from a father to a son. Son, hear my words, learn from my experience, that you might have a good life, that you might have a noble life, that you might have a prosperous life. It lays out all of this good advice. And the same is here. God, speaking through the preacher, Ecclesiastes, Solomon, is trying to tell us some things. So hedges are really, we can think of them, we said they're walls, they're things to prevent us from going places, to keep us in certain area, from going into certain other areas. We can think of those things as laws. Laws do that, don't they? Laws are things that say, you can go here, but no further. Do this, don't do this. Those are laws. Laws are hedges. They are walls that are meant to put boundaries on our conduct, upon the things we do in this life. Just like with those physical walls, sometimes we don't like them. We're curious about what's on the other side of that law. What's on the other side of that thou shalt not? And we have that rebellious streak that says, you know what? I've been told all my life not to do this, and I'm just going to go do it anyway. See, we want to violate those hedges. That's what Solomon is talking about. That hedge, that law, is there for a reason. And he says, those that break them down shall be bit by the serpent. There's a serpent in that hedge. That's what I want us to see this morning. There's serpents in the hedge. So these laws, there are really three types of laws that I want to talk about briefly this morning. I want us to see, first of all, there are God's laws. And I mentioned those first. I'm going to talk about them in the reverse order, but I want to mention them in this order so that you understand that they flow one from the other. First of all, there are God's laws. God is the creator of all things, the universe and all that's in it, time, space, reality itself, if you will, all created by God. And His laws are the highest laws. Then from His laws are derived natural laws, physics, chemistry, math, right? Those are all physical laws. The physical laws of this world, the laws of nature, derive from the laws of God. But they are boundaries that prevent us from doing things. Don't go into the deep water if you cannot swim, because the laws of nature say that you will sink and you cannot breathe water and then you will die. That is a law of nature. You cannot breathe water. There's oxygen there, but we can't get it out, right? That's an example, maybe a silly one, of a law of nature, but that's what I want us to understand. That's a line that says you can go here and you can go no further. You can breathe and you can exist here in this atmosphere where there's air, but if you try to go under the water, you're not going to last very long. That's just the law of nature, and there are many. And then, of course, there are the laws of man. But the laws of man derive, or should derive, from the laws of God and from the laws of nature. Whenever the laws of man come into conflict with those two things, then we've got problems, don't we? And so, down through the ages, wise rulers, wise societies have structured their laws, their hedges, to be in line with God's hedges, and then the hedges of that we can observe in the natural world, and then man builds his social hedges, his own laws, in accordance with that, and then a subset again of man's laws. So we've got the laws of society that we live by, and then we've got the laws of the home. Because, see, we learn to live in a society by living in a home. And that's why the first laws, the first hedges that a child is exposed to, are the hedges put in place by parents aren't they? And we all have perhaps common ones that are common in most households, and then we have some that differ from household to household. Maybe maybe you allowed your children to go a little bit further away from the home than mine did, or vice versa, or you let them watch more TV or less TV or whatever it might be. So where the hedges are might vary from home to home, but my point is that children are first introduced to hedges, to laws, to walls, to things that say go here and go no further, are introduced in the family, in the home, by the parents. And a good home and good parents establish good hedges that are in line with, first of all, the hedges of God, the hedges of nature, and the hedges of the greater society that they live in. Because we're training our children, we present hedges for their safety and to mold them and guide them, so that when they walk out of the home and now they're only subject to the hedges built by men, that they'll know how to conduct themselves and how to walk and keep within those boundaries, and also within the boundaries of the natural world and the boundaries, most importantly, that God has established. And so those are the different types of hedges, the different types of laws. So first of all, I want to talk a little bit more about those that are established by men. Again, I said that we use those things to train up a child. We establish boundaries for our children to keep them safe, to guide them. We don't just let them do whatever they want. We have established those hedges because we love them, don't we? We say, don't go out, if you live in a subdivision like I do with my younger ones, first of all, you don't go out unless mom or dad are out there with you, right? That's a law. And then you can go out, but you can't go past that mailbox down there or that mailbox down there, right? So we establish physical boundaries, but it's for their own good, right? Well, what's the first thing that they want to do? You all know your children did the same thing. You did the same thing when you were a child. The first thing they want to do when you turn your back is test that boundary. Test that hedge. They want to break through that hedge, don't they? Whatever the boundary, whatever the law that you have put in your home, you built up a hedge, you've explained to them where it is, and every time, every one of them, without fail, will try to test the boundaries of that hedge. They'll try to break that hedge down, won't they? And you have a responsibility as a parent to do what? To show them that there's a serpent in the hedge. We call that discipline. We call that consequences. You're trying to establish in their mind, yeah, I'm showing you how that we conduct ourselves is in accordance with what God has said, whether we know it or not. Solomon is warned, you go breaking down hedges, you go breaking down walls, you go trying to break over those walls, there's a serpent in there, you'll be bit. And we try to show the truth of that to our children when they begin to try to break down that hedge that we've established. There's consequences. You get bit. Whatever your form of punishment in your home was or is, right? That's a form of showing them there's consequences. If you go to break down those hedges that are established for your own good, you'll get bit. Now, those consequences for the child are relatively mild. But again, those laws of men, because what are we teaching them? We're teaching them the same thing, because when they go outside of the home, when they get older and get out on their own, and now they're not subject to the hedges that you've built anymore, but they sure are still subject to the hedges that men have built in society. And so they have to learn those hedges are out there. You're going to be tempted to move past them, understand they're there for your good, and understand that if you try to violate those hedges that men have set, there's consequences, aren't they? There's laws. One that we all violate most of the time, right? There's a speed limit. Most of us violate that. I hope not egregiously, but most of us. But we understand that if you get caught, there's a serpent there, that old state trooper can pull you over and give you a ticket and make you pay some money, right? So even if we do it, we know that there's a consequence. Maybe we just betting that we're not going to be the one to get caught. But that's kind of a relatively small one. But we know that there are hedges built by society that if we cross them, even if we're curious what's over there, our curiosity and our rebellion might drive us, especially when we're young, Hopefully, the older that we get, that curiosity dies down, that spirit of rebellion dies down. But when we're young, it's there, and we've all experienced it. What's on the other side of that hedge? If we've been trained up properly in our home, we understand there's a serpent in that hedge. I might not know the nature of that serpent, but I guarantee me there's one there. And if I violate that hedge, if I go messing around with that law, that thing that is put there for my own good, I'm going to get bit. There's going to be some type of a consequence. And so it is with the laws of men and those hedges of men. Then there are, and by and large, people respect those. By and large, we have some that go violate the laws of men, but by and large, they respect those because they understand that there is a consequence. There's a snake in there. There's a serpent to bite them. And so, if for no other reason than to avoid the serpent, many become law-abiding citizens just to avoid the negative repercussions, the serpent that's in there. And then we move on to the natural laws. Well, the natural laws have a very strict way of enforcing themselves. We learn at a very young age. You talk about children, right? They touch the hot stove. Probably they will only do it once, right? That has a natural consequence. You touch the hot stove, you get burned. You learn that there is a natural law about fire and about heat, that it's not good. If you touch it, it will burn you. There is a consequence. There is a serpent in that hedge. And we respect that. We might not like it, but we respect that because it just is what it is, right? It's the same thing with gravity. Gravity is a natural law. I might wish that I could step off the edge of a building and fly. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But I know that it's not that way. That's not the natural law. The natural law is that's a hedge. You can walk anywhere you want to walk, but you cannot fly. And if you go up on a high place and you step off into nothing, you will fall and you will die. That's a natural consequence. We all understand that. And though we may want to rebel against it, most are not foolish enough to do so because we know that that law cannot be violated without very severe consequences. We know the nature of the viper, of the serpent that is in that hedge, and therefore we don't violate it. We wouldn't think to violate it. Now, yes, men have used the other natural laws to almost say, well, we can fly. We can fly. Yes, but we can fly only according to the laws of nature. God has given us wisdom and intelligence, and men have learned how to manipulate the laws of nature to accomplish something that was once thought undoable. But you still can't step out on your own with nothing but the shirt on your back off of a high building and expect to fly because the laws of the nature are immutable. Those hedges are established, and if you violate them, there are consequences. There's a serpent in that hedge. We understand that. I don't expect anybody to go out and try to violate that law of nature because it's well established and you understand it and you understand the consequences for violating it. And we don't expect our children to go out and do that. They learn at a very young age that that would be a foolish thing to do. But why is it that we feel that we can so easily and without consequence violate the laws of God? You see, I told you that God's laws are the highest, and then they go to the laws of nature, and then the laws of men, and the laws of which encapsulate society and the home. And then now we've worked our way back up and shown how that at every level there is some expectation that we will observe those hedges. We teach what the hedges are and where they're at and what the consequences are. And the consequences are able to be seen and understood. And so men by and large respect the hedges of society. They, by and large, respect the hedges of the natural world. But yet those same men and women think that they can, with abandon and without consequence, violate the laws of God, the hedges that He has established. Why is that? Why is that? God's laws, God's hedges, proceed from His love and His holiness. Those are the things. God didn't just roll the dice one day and say, I think I'll make this a law, and I think I'll make that a law, and I'm not going to let Him do this, and I will let Him do that. No, His laws proceed from His holiness and His love. Every one of the laws of God, every hedge that He has built, that He has told us about, and they are all spelled out in here. If we'll get in and look, every one of them is to uphold His holiness, and because of His love for us and His desire for us to be holy as He is holy. God is not some cosmic killjoy that has just said that you can't do everything that you think is fun. You know, that's what children think about the parents' laws sometimes. Why can't I stay up all night and watch TV? Why can't I eat chocolate cake for dinner and all those things? Because as a young child, that's fun. You want to do that. You think your parents are just horrible people because they want... Savannah tells me that all the time. Every time she wants to do something and I tell her, you can't do that. You can't go out and play on your car by yourself, or you can't have your tablet or whatever. She said, Dad, you're always so mean. You don't let me do anything, or something to that effect, right? Because in her mind, I'm just being malicious. She doesn't understand, but that's fun. I want to do it. You're just being a meanie and malicious. Well, but I also know as she gets older, she'll understand that there's reasons that I did that. See, but yet we as adults sometimes will still look at God and say, well, God's just a big meanie and He won't let us do things that are fun that we want to do. But don't we realize that He has built those hedges for our own good? He has built those hedges. He has established those laws for our own good because of His holiness and because of His love. The Ten Commandments probably outline some good hedges that God has established. And He established them much in the way that parents train up a child. He started with the don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Just because, like we do with our children. We've been children before. We know what they're likely to do. So the first thing, we don't do this. You're not allowed to go there. You're not allowed to climb on this. You're not allowed to touch that. All these things, because we know that's the first thing they're going to want to do. Whenever you take a young child into somebody else's house or someplace they've never been, someplace you're worried about, the first, you don't tell them all the things they can do, do you? You start pointing out all the things you know they're going to run and do the first chance they get. And God, knowing that we're like children that way, when He began to lay out His righteousness for the children of Israel, He started out with all the saying, now don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this. Is that because that He's such a big meanie and negative? No. He knew the very first things that we were going to do, if left to ourselves, were going to be the things that would get us in the most trouble and had the most consequence and the most hurt waiting for us out there. There were the biggest vipers, the biggest serpents in the hedge were those things, and He said, don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Because the serpent that will bite you, oh, it'll be a terrible bite. It'll be a terrible bite if you violate those. And so God's hedges are established by His laws. But yet, rebellion and curiosity rear their ugly head again, don't they? Rebellion and curiosity rear their ugly head. We see that with children. We see that with in our own lives, many of us. Many of us raised to understand and to know God's laws, to know that God has said, do this, don't do that, live like this and don't live like that. But we get to a certain age and we begin to get out of our parents' home, out from under that, and we go off on our own. The first thing we do is curiosity gets the best. Don't we think, well, that looks like it might be pretty fun. I wonder why God said don't do that. I'm just going to go ahead and do that anyway. Especially since we live in a society that is actively tearing down God's hedges, aren't they? They're actively tearing down all the hedges that God has established. And they're trying to raise their own hedges, their own laws of conduct that are at variance with God. That's a dangerous place to be. That's a dangerous place to raise our children in. That's a dangerous place to try to serve God in. In a society that's tearing down His hedges and building their own hedges with no consideration upon God. But yet that's where we live. But that gives us the greater responsibility and the greater need to talk about the hedges that God has built and try to show our children and young people why that you must respect the hedges that God has built. Just like we teach them for their own good. Respect the hedges of nature. Don't go play around on the edge of that tall building.
falling because you're very likely to fall off, and the laws of nature say that you will fall and you will die. Don't go. So we teach them those things, don't we? We teach them not to mess around with the hedges that society has built. We teach them, don't go out and cheat on your taxes because you'll get caught, you'll get thrown in jail. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this other thing, because we know that there's laws against it, whether it's right or wrong, whether we even agree with them or don't. But we teach them, for prudence sake, don't violate those hedges that society has built up, because there'll be consequences. And yet we don't take the same care to teach them not to violate the hedges that God has built. We don't teach them that there are serpents in those hedges that will bite them. But we ought to be teaching them those things, because God has left it for our good. Rebellion and curiosity, though, rear their ugly head. I want us to think, I want to paint a little bit of a picture for you of a bridge. You all, many of you, have driven and, you know, gone over bridges. I want you to think about a bridge that's over a very dark, deep canyon, right? However wide you want it to be. Let's say, you know, it's a nice wide, you know, six lanes of traffic, three running this way, three running this way. Big, sturdy bridge. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't drive over on the edge. I've driven across a lot of bridges, and I've never once brushed up against a guardrail on a bridge. Have you? No, I stay away from that thing. I've never gotten close. I've never brushed up against the guardrail. So why don't we just take them off? Why don't we just take them off? Now, imagine this bridge that's this wide, and you're screaming down through there in your car, and there is no guardrail on the side at all. Would you be very comfortable, or would you be a little bit scared? I'd be a little bit scared, right? Because again, think about it. I've never drove that close to the edge. I've never even brushed up. I have never needed that guardrail to be there in all my years of driving. But what about being up on a high place, on a high building? I don't know about you. I'm not afraid of heights, but I ain't real crazy about them either. In reality, that guardrail doesn't need to be there, because I'm not going to get close enough. I'm not going to lean over far enough that I'm going to need that guardrail to save me. I'm not going to, you know, do that. Now, so if it wasn't there, I'd still be safe, but I wouldn't feel very safe, would I? You wouldn't either. You'd be real scared if you got up on top of that building and got over the edge and there was no rail there. See, that's an example of hedges that are built both for our safety. They're there, and we know that they're good for us, and we would be scared if they weren't there. The presence of the hedge gives us security. You're driving across that bridge at 70 miles an hour, and you don't think anything of it because that guardrail's there. Now, most of the time, heck, if you, yeah, that guardrail wouldn't keep you if you really ran into it. You'd still go off the edge. But it gives us comfort. It marks out the edge. We know, go this farther and no farther, because we know there's danger on the other side. And so we respect that hedge. We, as a matter of fact, we want it there. We're glad it's there. And we'd be scared and distraught if it wasn't there. But yet we expect God not to give us hedges. And we get upset that there are hedges there. And we say, I'd like to look over on the other side. Is it possible that God knows that there's danger over there? That just like, we can see the danger off the edge of the bridge, but if you couldn't see it, that wouldn't make it any less there, now would it? It would still be dangerous. Maybe God sees what's over the edge, and He's put those things there for our own good, for our safety, to protect us. And if we were in the right frame of mind, we would cherish those hedges, just like you cherish that hedge on that bridge over that large canyon, because it gives you a sense of comfort knowing that it's there. You, like me, have probably never brushed up against one, probably never really needed one, but you're glad it's there. Why aren't we glad that God has given us direction, that He's given us hedges, has given us boundaries? Because they're for our good, yet our rebellion and our curiosity often makes us think, man, I just wish that thing wasn't there. I wish it wasn't there. And when we're younger, we want to go peek over it. What if I just climb over just a little bit? There's serpents in that hedge, isn't there? There's serpents in that hedge. I want us to understand the laws of God are just as immutable as the laws of nature. Think about this. And I, as I studied for this and thought how I wanted to present it, there are
some hedges that God establishes for us. And I want to just mention briefly four things. Four things that the Bible gives us clear direction on and has given hedges for these four things that if we respected, if the world respected, I want you to think how many problems that exist in this country, in the world, in our society, for many of us in our own families, would just disappear if everyone would respect the hedge that God has built. And I don't even have to elaborate on these for most because you all are aware of them. The first off is drunkenness. Our relationship with alcohol and now in this day and age, drugs, anything like that. And I'm not just talking of the illegal variety. How many people we've got a opiate problem in this country that stems from perhaps misuse or whatever of prescription drugs that have a legitimate use and a needed use, and yet the danger that they pose is not respected by people, doctors, whoever, and it leads to problem. I want you to think of everyone would respect the hedge that God laid down for the proper use of alcohol and by extension any other kind of medication or drug. Remember, alcohol had a legitimate use, especially in their day and age when they didn't have anything else. It was medicinal. I don't want to get into all the medicinal and legitimate uses of alcohol, particularly in that era, but God didn't ban it outright, but He gave very strict caution of how to use it. How many problems in society today would disappear if that hedge that God had laid down was respected, if people hadn't messed with it and hadn't gotten bitten by the serpent that lives therein? It'd be a lot less problems, wouldn't there? There's one. What about gluttony? Oh, that's one we don't like to think about, but you realize that, and even in this era of COVID, most diseases, most deaths in America, a land of plenty, are affluence related. They're related to overconsumption of food. Heart disease, diabetes, I'm sure there's many others. How many of them are related to having to, as a general rule in our population, having an unhealthy relationship with food? We live in a land of plenty, and most of us have not been able to restrain ourselves the way that we should. How many of those problems would be gone if we respected the hedge that God laid down? I'm talking about a lot of medical problems. I'm talking about millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars a year going into fighting and treating those diseases and complications that come from overabundance, from just living a lifestyle of overindulging in food. So there's another one. What about chastity? God laid down some pretty specific hedges when it comes to our sexual purity, didn't He? What if everybody just observed God's hedges and respected His hedges about chastity, marriage for life, and monogamy? How many problems would go away instantly if everybody just respected that? Oh, how many family dramas and interconnected and all this other stuff, not to mention all of the filth that passes for legitimate things to do in this life. How much of it would just go away if everybody respected the hedge that God laid down with reference to chastity? That's three. And the fourth one, here's another one we don't like to think about, but God laid down some hedges about money, didn't He? He laid down some hedges, and the debt society that we live in is a violation of God's hedges. And there's serpents in there, and I'm telling you, we're coming as a nation about to get bit by that serpent as the debt spirals out of control, because for three generations we've been living on debt as a society and many as individuals. What does the Bible say? God said that the borrower is the slave to the lender.
He said the borrower is a slave to the lender, didn't he? He also said over there in Proverbs something about that the wise man has laid up oil and wine in his cellars against the lean days. See, the wise man is a saver, not a spender. So God has laid some hedges down for us. And boy, again, what kind of problems would be gone in our society? You know, the leading cause of divorce in America, probably other places in the world too, but in America, the leading cause of divorce, number one, is money problems. Number two is infidelity. You might think it was the other way around, but it's not. Money problems and infidelity. Both of those we just covered. Gone. Over and apart. So I want us to see, and I want young people to see, that there are consequences. We're living all around them. That's just four hedges, and there's lots of others that God has laid down that we could dig into, but those were the four big ones that came to mind for me, that 99% of the problems that we are dealing with in society, I'm talking about problems that non-religious people would look at and say, yeah, those are problems, man. I don't know how we fix that problem. I know how we fix that problem. Start accepting and respecting the hedges that God has built, and you'll live a prosperous and good life. There's just an example. He built four hedges, and if we'd be doing those things, we wouldn't have 99% of the problems we've got in the world today. So God has given us hedges because He loves us. Now, having said all that, the bad news is that we have all been bitten by that serpent in the hedge, haven't we? We've all been bitten. We are all sinners. We've all violated at some point, sometime, the hedges that God has built. We've all stuck our hand in the crevice. We've all climbed over to the other side. We've all let our curiosity and our rebellion get the best of us, and we've been bit by the serpent. And it's there that we have to leave our text, because Solomon doesn't tell us what happens next. But I want us to understand, we've all been bitten, but praise God, there is more. There's more after Ecclesiastes. We can turn over, and the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us hope. We have all been bitten by the serpent that lurks in those hedges because we violated the laws of God. We have not had respect unto the things that He has said, the thou shalt and the thou shout nots. We have violated those, and so we are sinners, and we have the venom of sin coursing through our bodies. You know, the thing about snakes is there's different kinds with different venom. You know, some, they bite you, and the venom courses, and it takes a while. It takes a while to die. There's other ones. I read about this when I was much younger, about the most poisonous snake in the world is, I think, what they call a coral snake. It's really pretty small. They mostly, the only people that have ever died from them are like rock climbers and stuff, because they're so small that they can't get their mouth open very far, and so they tend to live in these rocky places, and rock climbers have been their most prolific victims, because they reach their hand up there, and then that snake can bite them right there in that web, and they die within seconds. Seconds. So some venom is like that. Some sin will just kill us in an instant. Other times, it'll course through our veins for a while. It'll inflame us, maybe. Or like the neurotoxin of the rattlesnake, it'll numb us. Some snakes aren't poisonous at all. They just bite, just hurts a little bit. But you've heard of the death by a thousand cuts. I guarantee you, even if that snake is not venomous, if you get bit enough times and by enough snakes, you'll die. A death by a thousand cuts. So there's different types of venom. There's different ways to die. There's different lengths of time that you can live with it. But the end of it all is death. And so we all have that venom coursing through us, and the end thereof is death. But praise God, He made a way that we can be saved from our own foolishness, from our own sin, and it's Jesus Christ. Think about Moses there in the wilderness. What did they do, those children of Israel? They violated God's laws, didn't they? God laid down some hedges, and they went out there, they were murmuring, and they were mumbling, and they wouldn't listen to Moses, and they wouldn't listen to God, and they tried to break down those hedges, and God sent literal serpents to bite them.
and they were dying right and left by the hundreds, by the thousands. And Moses prayed, and what did God tell him to do? He said, make that image of the brazen serpent, and you put it up on the pole in the middle of the camp, and all those that look unto it shall live. That was the cure for the venom that was in the serpent, that was in the hedge, that they had broken down because they rebelled against God, and now they were dying. But he said, look upon that brazen serpent and live. And that was a picture we all know. Jesus over there in John said about himself, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, and I will draw all men unto me. Jesus is the brazen serpent for us. The only way to get rid of the venom of that serpent that has bit us because we messed around with the hedges that God has built is through Jesus Christ. And so if you're lost here today, I want you to understand that you have been bit. You have stuck your hand in that hedge that God built, whatever it was, and you have been bit, and you are surely dying, but Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ can and will take the venom away. It's the only way. Repent and believe. Look unto Jesus and live. Look and live. Repent and believe. But I want to close out with one final thought about hedges, God's hedges. There are still hedges for Christians. All of the old hedges apply. All of the Ten Commandment hedges, thou shalt not, which Jesus condensed them down, didn't he? For us, for those of you that are like me, I don't like to memorize 10 things if I can only memorize 2. And Jesus conveniently condensed them down for us. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. And so Jesus put it down to that. Love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't steal from him. You won't murder him. You won't lie to him. You won't bear false witness. You won't covet his wife or his car or his house or any of those. If you love him like yourself, see, you won't do any of those things. So that we wrap that up. But then God has established some new hedges for Christians, for His people. Just like Israel had hedges that the rest of the world didn't. See, you could be a saved Gentile, and there were saved Gentiles down through the ages. I think of Nebuchadnezzar, I think of Naaman, and I'm sure there were others. But see, they got saved the same way that you and I did, and the same way the Israelites did, by repentance unto God and faith in His promises. But then they didn't have the same hedges that Israel had because they weren't God's visible people. And what I'm talking about specifically is a lot of the dietary laws and the things. You know, they could eat whatever they want. All those dietary laws of clean animals and unclean animals, and you can't sow two different kinds of seed in the same row, and you can't wear a garment that's got two different kinds of fabric in it. Were all designed specifically for God's visible people, Israel, and it was to show that God has put a hedge, a wall between His people and the rest of the world. He has built a wall between the clean and the unclean, between the righteous and the unrighteous, between light and darkness, between the heavenly kingdom and the world. That was what all that was for. And so God has given hedges to His people, to Christians. We are His visible people. We are Israel. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are Israel. You are God's people in this world. His visible people. The church is His visible people in this world. And we've got some hedges that we have to respect. And when we don't respect them, there's a serpent in there. I'll read you what I think is the best summary of those hedges. It's in 2 Corinthians, 6th chapter, the 14th and the 17th verse. And we have gotten to the point that I'm afraid that we have violated some of these, and we continue to violate them in our walk in this world, and it's to our detriment because there are serpents in these hedges that God has established for Christians, for His people, for His church. Paul writes in the 6th chapter, 2 Corinthians, 14th verse, ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There is a hedge between us and the world. We are to live in the world, but not be of the world. We are to draw, there is a line that God has drawn. We're not to draw. God has drawn a line between the clean thing and the unclean thing. And if you're saved, you're clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has built a wall between the light, those that have the light of Jesus Christ in them that should be shining out in the darkness of this world. And too often we have tried to tear down those hedges, and we've looked over to the other side. What's going on over there in the world? What do they got over there? And we've messed around with the hedges that God has built to separate His people from the world, and we've been bit by some serpents along the way. And I'm afraid that many of His churches, many of His people, many of Christians are dying. Not dying that we're going to go to hell, not dying, but we are losing our influence in this world. We're losing the power that we have with God, that our forefathers had with God, because we're not respecting the hedges that God has built for us, specifically for Christians, to remain separate and separated and distinct from the world. I wish I had good advice on what exactly that looked like. It looks different in every age. That's why God didn't give us a whole list of things. He didn't tell us to wear a certain kind of clothes or drive a certain kind of car or whatever, because how we separate ourselves from the world changes as the world changes. But God hasn't changed at all. And when the world looks a lot like God, as it did in this nation maybe 100 years ago, maybe 150 years ago, then we can look a lot like the world and still look the way that God wanted us to look. But I'm telling you, that day is past. And the world, this nation, has gone way off over here. And many of God's children, we have been pulled along with them, busting right through that hedge. Snakes biting, and we just haven't been caring a bit about it. And we might be suffering a little bit because of that. And so let us respect the hedges that God has built. There is a serpent in the hedge. Whatever hedge, whatever wall that God has built, it's for our own good. And most assuredly, there are serpents dwelling in there for any that would violate the hedges that God has built. Whether it be the Ten Commandments, the moral laws of God, the practical laws of God, or the laws laid down for His people to remain separate, we must respect those hedges, because there's a serpent in there waiting to get us if we don't. I appreciate your attention. Brother Dyer, if we can get a song. God has done it all for our good. It's all for our good. And again, if you're lost here today, understand that you have already been bitten. Your curiosity and your rebellion has already sentenced you to eternity in hell. But Jesus Christ can and will save you if you look upon Him. That's the first step. You've got to get the venom purged out of your blood by Jesus Christ. Go ahead.